Father, we come today and we thank you for being a loving God. We thank you for all the blessings that you have also given us. Father, we ask a special blessing upon Peggy today. We ask a special blessing with the children as they go to their class today. Father, may you bless them as they learn these wonderful, powerful stories that are foundational to our faith. Father, we thank you for us being here today, and we ask that you would guide us and give us discernment and wisdom as we study your precious word. And Father, may we not only be hearers of your word, but may we also be doers of your word. And it's in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to continue in our sermon series on the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John. Now, if you were here last week, we started looking at chapter 11 and the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Now, the story begins in a small town called Bethany. And there are two sisters who live there, Mary and Martha, and they sent a messenger to Jesus to tell them that their brother Lazarus was very, very sick and was dying, and he needed to quickly come to their house. But instead of leaving right away, what did Jesus do? He didn't, did he? He delayed. He delayed for several days before he headed to Bethany. And while Jesus is at the Jordan River, Lazarus dies. And that leaves the sisters very hurt, very confused, and wondering, where in the world is Jesus? Why didn't Jesus come? And that's where we pick up the story. So if you have your Bibles, please open them up to John chapter 11. You can use your own Bibles. We have Bibles in the pews for you. Everybody has a cell phone today. And hey, there's Bible apps on the cell phone, so I encourage you to use that. Whatever it takes for you to use your Bible. We don't have it on a screen here today, so you're going to have to open up your own Bible. And we're going to look at verses 17 through 27. Now, I told you that we're going to spend 3 weeks in this story. 3 weeks in this story. So this is the second of 3 messages on Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, the LSB, today. So John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 stadia away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who comes into the world." Now, when I began this series on the Gospel of John, I told you that John based his letter, he based his gospel around the letter 7. And you'll notice that there are 7 miracles that John talks about, and there are seven I am statements that John talks about. How many of you ever heard someone say that Jesus never claimed to be God? I've heard that from time to time. You will hear people say that from time to time. Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, that's not true. Because every time Jesus used the statement, I am, he claimed to be what? He claimed to be God. He claimed to be God. You see, every time Jesus said, I am, he was basically saying that he is the same God who revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. Now, just to give you an overview, to review this, here are the seven statements, the I am statements that Jesus made. The first I am statement that Jesus made in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger. The second I am statement of Jesus is found in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The third one is found in John chapter 10, verse 7, and we already talked about these in this series. Jesus said, I am the door, or I am the gate. If anyone goes in by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. That was the fourth one. The fifth one is the one we already read. I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes in me will never die. And that's in verse 25 of John chapter 11. In a few weeks, we're going to look at the sixth I am statement. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. And we find that in John chapter 14, verse 6. And then the last one, and that's in John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So those are the seven I am statements that Jesus made about himself, claiming to be God. So don't ever listen to anyone. If anyone ever comes over to you and says, Jesus never claimed to be God, look at him and say, well, what do you do with the I am statements in John? And they'll look at you and they'll go, huh, they don't even know what they're talking about. But they like to make the claim that Jesus never claimed to be God, and Jesus claimed to be God many, 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 many times. Now, in today's message, we're going to focus on Jesus' fifth I am statement. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, in next week's message, we'll take a closer look at Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But in today's message, I want to focus on the interaction between Jesus and the sister Martha. I want to look at their interaction. That's what I want to key in on today. Now, in this story, Martha experiences a real emotional crisis. Why? Her brother died. How many of us can relate to that? Somebody close to us in our family has passed away. It could be a mother, a father, unfortunately a child, a brother, a sister. And that does cause an emotional crisis for many, many, many people. But to multiply her misery, there's this nagging accusation that's going on that this death could have been prevented. In Martha's mind, this could have been prevented if only Jesus had come when we called for him. So there's a lot of emotional things going on here in Martha's life. But you know, I think we can relate to that because we all face obstacles from time to time. Anyone here ever go without any crisis, any tragedy, any obstacle in your life? No, absolutely not. We all face obstacles from time to time. Could relate to finances, our health, especially as we get older, our careers, our relationships. It could be husband-wife. It could be children. I know that relationship with children can sometimes get kind of crazy. Brothers and sisters and things like that. In fact, you may right now be in the middle of an obstacle right now. And you can say, you can call it a crisis, you can call it a tragedy. Hi, James, how are you? You can call it whatever. I'm just calling it an obstacle. Something bad is going on in your life right now, okay? That's what we're talking about. And you right now might be in the middle of an obstacle. Well, that's where Jesus as the resurrection and life can help you. Now, there are four stages. If you're going through a tough time right now, and again, I talked about it. It could be a financial issue. It could be a relational issue. It could be a health issue. It could be a career issue. If you're going through one of those obstacles, there are four stages that you have to go through if you want Jesus to help you when you're face to face with that problem. Four stages, and don't skip these stages. Now, where do I get this from? I get this from Martha. Martha went through these four stages of grief, of hurting. First, we need to meet Jesus at our point of desperation. We need to meet Jesus at our point of desperation. Look again at what it says in verse 20. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now, the wording here makes it very clear that Martha ran out to meet Jesus before Jesus even arrived in the city. Martha could have easily stayed in the house, couldn't she? She could have run away from Jesus. Those were options. But instead, she did the right thing. She ran to Jesus. Now, don't miss this. A lot of people don't realize this. This was a big, big deal. Her doing that, because what she did, she was not supposed to do in the Jewish custom. You see, she was actually breaking the Jewish mourning custom of Shavah, which is a Hebrew word meaning seven, and it refers to a seven-day period of formalized mourning by the immediate family of the deceased. And she broke that custom by running out to Jesus. And my question to you this morning is, what obstacle are you face to face with right now? Has someone you love died? Has someone you love left you? Are you struggling with some kind of sin or addiction that you can't conquer? Are you struggling with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder? Or maybe you're here today and you're just physically overwhelmed because you're having to take care of so many people in your life. It could be a single parent and you're having to take care of kids. You're just overwhelmed. I don't know, maybe you're here today and you're struggling with depression. You're struggling with discouragement. Now again, our most natural reaction is to hide. That's our natural reaction. To run away from God. To run away from the church. But friends, you have to force yourself to do the exact opposite. Instead of running away from God, instead of running away from the church, you need to what? You need to do what Martha did. You need to grab onto Jesus with everything you've got. You have to run to Jesus. And that's because he's the source of your hope. He's the source of your help. In other words, Jesus will meet you at your point of desperation. So that's the first stage. When you're face to face with a tragedy, you're face to face with an obstacle, you need to meet Jesus at your point of desperation. You need to run to him, not away from him. Well, the second stage is to admit you're in pain. To admit that you're hurting. To admit that you're angry. To admit that you're disappointed. How many people today, they pretend like everything is all right. Somebody is going through a really, really hard time. You walk over to them, you say, how you doing? And they look at you and they say, I'm doing okay. No, you're not. Admit you're mad. Admit you're upset. Look again at what Martha said to Jesus in verse 21. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Those words are mixed with a sense of outrage and disappointment. In other words, Lord, where were you? We sent for you 4 days ago and we waited and we waited and we waited. And now he's dead. He's been dead for 4 days. Where were you? If you were here, he'd still be alive. And it's the same thing with us. If you're here today and you're upset, it's so important that you express your pain and your disappointment with God. There is nothing wrong with getting upset with God. You don't think he's big enough to handle it? Just don't stay there. I know people that have been angry at God for 25 years. Now that's silly, in my opinion, to stay angry at God for that long. But man, when life slaps you in the face, I know people who have lost loved ones, and they're mad at God. God, why did you take them? God can handle it. Be open, be transparent. Tell him where you're hurting the most, because that's when he can help you the most. Don't walk around acting like everything is fine. Be honest with God. You know, I've always liked the song, Cry Out to Jesus, by a group called Third Day. How many ever heard of Third Day? I don't even think they're a group anymore. I think Mac Powell broke off on his own a long time ago. But they have a song, it's called Cry Out to Jesus. That is my go-to song for me. Some people have go-to songs when you're hurting. This is my go-to song. I listen to Cry Out to Jesus. It's all about obstacles or tragedies that people are dealing with. And I just want to read just a few of the words to the beginning of the song. It says, to everyone who's lost someone they love long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains, keeping you back from your life. You believe that there's nothing and that there is no one who can make it right. And then the chorus to this song is, there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. So that's the second stage when you're face to face with a tragedy. When you're face to face with an obstacle. Admit you're in pain. Admit you're upset. Admit you're disappointed. And cry out to Jesus. Well, the third stage when you're face to face with an obstacle is you have to see Jesus for who he really is. Now, this is actually the turning point in the story. You see, at this point in the story, Martha considered Jesus nothing more than a miracle worker, a gifted teacher. She hadn't quite understood that Jesus was God yet. I mean, again, look at the conversation that Jesus had with Martha in verses 21 through 25. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now, notice Martha gave Jesus the correct Sunday school answer. Okay? I mean, you can almost picture her rolling her eyes and saying, I know that my brother's going to rise again at the resurrection on the last day. But you can also hear her thinking, but that doesn't do me any good today. That's a long time away. Jesus, I don't need help tomorrow. I need help today. And that's the problem with a lot of people today. We know the correct spiritual answer, but it really doesn't give us any peace and joy today. But then Jesus drops a bomb on Martha in verse 25. Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. In other words, he's saying, Martha, this resurrection that you're talking about, this is not an event. This resurrection that you're talking about is about me. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. And then Jesus puts her on the spot. Look at what he says in verses 26 and 27. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die ever. And then he looks at her and he said, do you believe this? Do you believe it? Now, 3 days earlier when she was angry at Jesus, she probably would not have believed it. But hearing it from his lips, she says, yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who comes into the world. And it's from that moment on that Martha's life changed. Now, we're going to talk about this next week, but let me give you just a preview of what happens next. Jesus continues to walk with Martha to her house. And all of a sudden, who shows up? Mary. Mary comes out of the house, runs up to Jesus, and says pretty much the same thing. So don't think these sisters were not rehearsing this, okay? I mean, seriously, they both basically said the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So you don't think the sisters were talking about this for 4 days? They basically say the same thing to Jesus. you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, there's also a crowd that gathered at the tomb. And there's a whole lot of weeping, a whole lot of crying going on. And it's here. It's here that we see the compassion of Jesus. Because what does the Bible say Jesus did? Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. You know, I have always been amazed at the tender heart of Jesus revealed by those tears. And I still struggle sometimes, maybe you do, why was Jesus crying? Jesus knew Lazarus was going to what? Walk out of that tomb. Yet he was still touched by the grief of others. Friends, I truly, truly believe this. When a tragedy happens in your life, someone passes away, someone leaves you, or you get fired, or something just terribly happens to you, I truly believe Jesus is crying with you. I believe he cries for you. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. When you're crying, he's crying with you because he loves you that much. Just as he was here, he was touched by the grief of others, and he cried with them. He knows what you're going through. And he has compassion and he cares, just as he cares here. He knew that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. But he still cried because he was moved by their hurt. By their tears. That's the kind of God we have. And I find a lot of comfort in that. Well, anyway, they point to a shallow cave with a stone that had been rolled over the opening. And Jesus tells them to remove the stone. And you have to love the honesty of Martha. Lord, are you sure you want to do that? After 4 days, it's going to be kind of stinky. She said, it's going to stink. You really want to do that? In other words, the body is already starting to decay. And then Jesus looks at her and says, Martha, didn't I tell you that if you believed that you would see the glory of God? He then cries out with a loud voice, we're going to look at this next week, Lazarus, come out. He said it in a loud voice. Now, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, I can't find it in the Bible, it's just my opinion. If Jesus had not identified Lazarus, every dead corpse in that area would have jumped out of their graves. I'm dead serious. I really believe that's why he said, Lazarus, come out. If he would have said, come out, all the dead bodies would have come out. Because he has the power over what? The dead. Now it's important to note at this point, Jesus did not resurrect Lazarus. I think sometimes we need to stop saying that Jesus resurrected Lazarus. I like to think of Jesus resuscitating Lazarus. Now why is that important? Because Lazarus would eventually what? He would die again. He would die again. You see, there's only been one person that has been resurrected from the dead. And who is that? Let's get this correct. Jesus. Lazarus was not resurrected from the dead. He was raised from the dead. He was resuscitated, however you want to say it. But he wasn't resurrected because he would go on to die again. Jesus is the only person that was ever rose from the dead, resurrected from the dead, because he's alive today. He's alive today forevermore. All right, let's get back to the door of the cave. Now, I find humor in the Bible. I don't know if you do, but this, to me, this scene had to be kind of funny, I would think, kind of comical. Because think about it. Before they buried Lazarus, they had wrapped his body in what? Strips of cloth from head to toe. So picture Lazarus coming out of that tomb. Don't you think he looked like a mummy? I find humor in that. He looked like a mummy hopping out of the cave. And Jesus says, untie him. Loose him. Let him go. And when they unwound those old grave clothes, picture this in your mind. Can you imagine what Mary and Martha must have been thinking? I mean, their brother is alive and breathing. Their sorrow turned into joy. Their worst day of their life turned into the best day of their life. Jesus had turned a tragedy, an obstacle, into a victory. And friend, Jesus can do the same thing for you. He can take your obstacle, he can take your tragedy, and he can turn it into a victory. You just can't get ahead of him. We talked about that terrible, terrible word last week that starts with a P. Patience. We don't like that. But we have to be patient when it comes to God. 4 days went by before he came. And why did he do it? To show the glory of God. All right, I'm going to close. Man, I'm going to get you guys out really early today. That's awesome. All right, let me close with this. I want to tell you a story about a guy by the name of Dave Lazzarini. Nobody knows who he is. I found his name on the internet, and his story is very, very interesting. Dave Lazzarini's life wasn't always a success story. He's a very successful person right now. He's done quite a few things for the Lord. But when he was younger, he was raised in a very tough neighborhood. He got involved in drugs and crime from a young age. When he was in his teenage years, he was doing drugs, and he was robbing stores, and he was just a mess. By his late teens, he had already been arrested multiple times, and this guy was headed down a path of total destruction. To make a long story short, he ended up in prison, and he spent quite a few years in prison, where he felt like his life was essentially over. Well, during his time in prison, something incredible happened to Dave. He had a moment of clarity, which prison can do, I guess. I've never been in prison, but that's what I've been told. Prison can give you a moment of clarity, a moment of realization that he had made every wrong choice possible in life. And that his life only brought him pain, and pain to those that he loved. Well, Dave didn't know what else to do, so he picked up a Bible one day. Started reading it, and then he started attending church services in the prison chapel. All the prisons have a chapel. They have a chaplain, and he started going to church. And over time, Dave began to experience a transformation that he couldn't even have predicted. Well, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He found a new sense of purpose, and he began to study this deeply. He devoured the Bible. And he made a decision that no matter what, he was not going to let his past define his future. So he worked very, very, very hard to change this, his mind, first of all. He then decided, I need to break some old bad habits, and I need to heal from the wounds that have shaped his life. Well, one day he was finally released from prison. Now, do you think it was a quick, easy road for him? For those people that get out of prison, even those who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? No. What do you think he faced? Skepticism. Skepticism from those people around him saying, he's not changed. He's not a Christian. Someone like that, the background that he has, he's never going to change. But here's the thing about Dave Lazzarini. He kept his focus on this. He didn't worry what people said about him. He didn't worry what other people thought of him. He kept his focus here. He kept his focus on the Lord. That's where his focus was. And then he eventually went to college. He started a career. And as he said, he became involved in one of the best decisions he ever made. He became involved in a local church where he had a support system of Christians to pray for him and to help him. He began to mentor former inmates who were struggling to rebuild their lives. And you know, his journey didn't stop there. Over time, this man started a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping at-risk youth and former inmates get back into society and find a hope for a second chance. He also became a motivational speaker. He shared his story with churches, with schools, with prisons. He went around encouraging other people that no matter how far you have fallen, redemption and a fresh start are always possible. Now, I don't know. Maybe you're here today and you're facing an obstacle, a tragedy, a hard time as you enter 2025. Well, all I can say is I'm sorry. My heart goes out to you. I lift you up in prayer. And I encourage you with these words, stay close to Jesus. If you're going through a hard time right now, stay close to Jesus. Grab onto him with everything you got. Be honest with him. Let him know how you feel. Tell him your pain. And most importantly, see him for who he really is. He is the resurrection and life. And guess what? For a Christian, the pain of living in this world will someday end, and we will live with him for all eternity, where there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more sin. And how we long for that day. But until then, we still live here. We still live here. And get ready for the blessing, because he has a blessing for you. Every one of you, you're going through a tough time. There is a blessing right around the corner. That's a promise. That's a promise in the Bible. So be ready to claim the blessing when he gives it to you. Don't let it get by you because you're so self-absorbed in your own pain that you're not concentrating on Christ and the blessing that he wants to give you. So many people miss his blessing because they're looking inside of themselves so much, when instead they need to be here, here. Because Jesus is an expert in taking a tragedy, taking an obstacle, and he can turn that into a victory. How many of you believe that? Well, let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, for anyone here today that is struggling, and Father, I look out at this congregation and I see some people that are going through some pretty tough things. And there are people that are going through some tough things that I don't even know about because they haven't shared it with me, but I do know that there are probably people here that are going through a tough time. Father, I lift them up in prayer. I ask that you wrap your loving arms around them and let them know that you love them and you care for them deeply. Let them know today, Father, as they leave this building, that you are the resurrection and that you are the life. And you can take their tragedy, you can take their obstacle, Father, and you can turn it into a victory, and only you can do that. Father, help people forgive. I'm sure there are people here today that are angry. They have a hard time letting go of something that happened to them by a person or an incident. Oh, Father, give them the grace to forgive. Forgiveness is so important. Let them work towards forgiveness, because there are people that need to do that. Father, I just lift up each person that's struggling today. I just ask that you would just bless them. Let them know that you love them and that you care for them. And Father, it is in Christ's name that I do pray for these people. Amen.